This morning's reading is from Mark 8, verse 14 to 26. The disciples had forgotten to bring bread, except for one loaf they had with them in the boat. "Be careful," Jesus warned them. "Watch out for the yeast of the Pharisees and that of Herod." They discussed this with one another and said, "It is because we have no bread." Aware of their discussion, Jesus asked them, "Why are you talking about having no bread? Do you still not see or understand? Are your hearts hardened? Do you have eyes but fail to see, and ears but fail to hear? And don't you remember, when I broke the 5 loaves for the 5,000, how many basketfuls of pieces did you pick up?" 12, they replied. "And when I broke the 7 loaves for the 4,000, how many basketfuls of pieces did you pick up?" They answered, 7. He said to them, "Do you still not understand?" They came to Bethsaida, and some people brought a blind man and begged Jesus to touch him. He took the blind man by the hand and led him outside the village. When he had spat on the man's eyes and put his hands on him, Jesus asked, "Do you see anything?" He looked up and said, "I see people. They look like trees walking around." Once more, Jesus put his hands on the man's eyes. Then his eyes were opened. His sight was restored, and he saw everything clearly. Jesus sent him home, saying, "Don't go into the village."
Thanks very much, Sophie. You may have heard the story about the Christian who had a visitor from abroad, and he took him to church for the first time. This visitor had not been to church before, and so he went into this service, and after the service the Christian asked the visitor, "How did it go? Was everything okay?" And the visitor said, "Well, yes, very good, but there were 3 things that I didn't quite understand. I don't know what they mean." And so the Christian asked, "What were they?" So the visitor said, "Well, the first two were baptism and communion." So the Christian explained that baptism is an outward sign of something that's happened within the person already. And communion is when we remember what our Lord Jesus did for us on the cross in dying for us. So the visitor said, "Okay, thanks for explaining that. What's the third thing?" the Christian said. "Oh, the third thing is, when the preacher said, 'I've got one eye on the clock,' what did that mean?" And the Christian said, "Well, don't worry about that. That means nothing at all." "I've got one eye on the clock." We're looking at this short account in verses 22 to 26 when Jesus healed a blind man. The passage is about seeing, but not really seeing. And it fits very well into this chapter, which is about different people who see but don't really see. And let's be honest, we often sit in congregations Sunday by Sunday and we look at the preacher talking away, and sometimes we realise we're looking in his direction, but our minds and our eyes and our ears are elsewhere. We either snap ourselves out of it or we sit there wide-eyed. We're seeing, but we're not really seeing. I'm sure we've all experienced that. Beware the eyes of the preacher. See everything. Verse 22 tells us that the disciples, Jesus and his disciples, come to Bethsaida. The name means house of the fisher, and it was a fishing village near the northern shore of the Sea of Galilee. It seems to have been a very blessed place. It's mentioned 7 times in the Gospels. Jesus fed 5,000 plus people there, near there, with 5 loaves and 2 fish. That's Luke 9 and verse 10. And he healed those who needed healing there, Luke 9 and verse 11. Jesus walked on the waters of Galilee as his disciples rowed to Bethsaida. That's Mark 6 verse 45. And it was also the home of Peter, Andrew and Philip, 3 of Jesus' disciples. It tells in John 1:44. So in many ways, the place was blessed by the presence and the miracles of Jesus. But although the people of Bethsaida witnessed amazing things, they were seeing, but not really seeing, still blind to who Jesus was. Matthew 11 and verse 20 says that Jesus condemns the towns where most of his miracles had been performed. And in verse 21 of Matthew 11 he says, "Woe to you, Bethsaida, if the miracles that were performed in you had been performed in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes." The people of Bethsaida looked for signs, and Jesus had performed signs and miracles there. So they had seen the signs, but they still missed who Jesus really was. They saw, but they didn't really see. As we sit here this morning, does this apply to us here? Does this speak to us right now, as we sit enjoying being together? Well, I feel it could. As we listen to the songs, as we're carried along by the music, as we enjoy the friendship and love of each other in our conversations over a cup of tea afterwards, we see in each other lives changed. We see evidence of the work of Jesus by his grace. But do we see the one behind the changes? Do we see the signs, the evidence, but fail to see Jesus? Without Jesus, we wouldn't be singing these songs. And we'd be so different, we probably wouldn't want to be in the same room together. It's only God's work within us that ties us together. We mustn't fall into the trap of seeing but not seeing, looking at all the evidence of who Jesus really is, but failing to see past the outward signs to who he is, Son of God, Creator and Sustainer of all, Saviour of all who believe. Are you seeing Jesus? We're told in verse 22 that some people brought a blind man and begged Jesus to touch him. Now, the blind were disadvantaged and socially deprived, so when you read the Gospels, you often find them sitting by the roadside, begging for help, hoping that someone will come along and show them pity and help. But this situation is different, because these people have brought him physically to Jesus. They did something. They didn't wait for help to come to them. And doesn't this remind us that we've got a role to play? We've got a role to play in bringing those who need help, who need healing, who need saving, to Jesus. We have a responsibility to bring them in prayer before the one who can help, the one who can heal and save. Because as Jesus hears and answers prayer, that's our responsibility to bring these people before the Lord. Do you see who Jesus is? These friends of the blind man brought him because they'd either heard from others or they'd seen with their own eyes that Jesus healed the sick. He restored sight to the blind, made the lame walk. He could heal just by touching. That's all it took. That's all they wanted. They begged for Jesus to touch their friend and heal him. And they watched as Jesus reached out his hand towards the blind man. They held their breath with expectation. If it was in a film, the shot would just be of Jesus' hand gradually getting closer to the man. Just one touch. But not this time. Nothing happened. Jesus was now holding the man's hand, but he hadn't healed him. He was leading him out of town. Those watching would be wondering, what's happening? What's going on? He's touched others and they were healed. Verse 23. Jesus took the blind man by the hand and led him outside the village. And that must have been really frightening for the man, because his friends had probably been telling him on the journey to Bethsaida that all he had to do was ask Jesus to touch him and he'd be healed. And now here he was being led down the country road to who knows where. I don't know whether I'd be happy for some of my friends to lead me down the garden, never mind down a rocky road. Some have led me up the garden path. Go on a walk with Warren. Who needs a map? But was that how he was feeling? Did he feel frightened? We're not told, but Jesus has taken him by the hand. Perhaps the blind man felt something of Jesus' kindness, his compassion, as he guided him along the path, telling him to avoid the rocks and the holes, warning him of the uneven surface. The man gradually realized he could trust this man completely. His friends were back in the village. He was on his own with Jesus. Jesus was his eyes. And describing himself as the good shepherd in John chapter 10, didn't Jesus say he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out? His sheep follow him because they know his voice. I know my sheep, Jesus says, and my sheep know me. There was something about Jesus. There is something about Jesus. Have you heard the voice of the Good Shepherd? Have you heard his call? Do you know his voice? They're away from the crowds now. Yes, whenever Jesus performed miracles, they revealed that he was and is the Son of God, the Son of Almighty God. They show that Jesus is God. But that's not the only motivation behind his miracles. They're also acts of grace, unlimited love and compassion for those he's made, for those in need. God is love. Jesus is love. This healing's to help this poor, needy, blind man. It shows Jesus' love and compassion for him. And those receiving sight and healing and salvation at the hands of Jesus know his love poured out for them. Do you see Jesus sent by God because he so loved the world that those who see who he really is and believe in him should not perish but have eternal life? Do you know that Jesus, loved with everlasting love, led by grace, that love to know, we sometimes sing. Excuse me. Walking with Jesus brings increasing trust. The further the man walks along the road with Jesus, what we read in Proverbs 3 and verses 5 to 6 becomes his experience. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will make your path straight. This is between him and Jesus. It's not a question of what's going to happen. It's, do I trust this man no matter what happens? And we have to come to this point. We have to trust the man who heals and saves, restores and leads, although we might not see clearly what is happening and what's going to happen. If we see who Jesus really is, we'll learn to trust him, no matter what happens. Jesus could have healed him with a touch. He did it for others. Matthew 20, verse 34, Jesus had compassion on two blind men and touched their eyes and they received their sight immediately. Jesus had told demons to leave people. He told the storm to calm down. He'd made the lame walk. And now he, Jesus, was walking beside him. Does he trust Jesus to heal him? What Jesus does next can't have been predicted. The blind man was expecting a miraculous touch, or even just a word. But how Jesus heals him, we don't read anywhere else. This healing is only recorded in Mark's Gospel, and the method Jesus uses, healing him in stages, is unique. Intriguing. All this goes to show we can't expect Jesus to work in a specific way, at a specific time, with a specific person. He's not tied to any one means of action. He is sovereign, and he acts as he chooses. No one can tell him how to work, because he is God. And it reminds us of what we find in Isaiah 55, verses 8 to 9, doesn't it? My thoughts, God says, my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. It didn't happen for this man as it did for others. And the truth is, it may not happen for us as it does for others. That would be to limit God to work in ways which we expect him to work, or even predict him to work. That would be to shrink God to our small expectations. God is much bigger than that. His ways are higher than our ways. Why does Jesus use this method with this man? Only he knows. Why did he spit on the man's eyes? Only he knows. Why did he heal him in stages? Only Jesus knows. His ways are higher than ours. Why does God deal with me in a different way to the way he deals with you? Only he knows. Because only he knows me and you through and through. Only he knows our specific individual and different needs. Only he knows how to touch us so that we see who he really is. The God who cares for us. This is Jesus. This is the Son of God. Perhaps he's taking you by the hand right now. And he's teaching you to trust him. Is he showing you right now who he really is? Are you trusting him? Well, spitting on the man's eyes is probably not what we would expect Jesus to do. But spitting is mentioned in two accounts of miracles performed by Jesus apart from this here. In Mark 7, verse 31, he spat and touched a dumb man's tongue to heal him. In John 9, verse 6, he spat on the ground, made some mud, put it on a blind man's eyes, and healed him. Otherwise, its only use in the Gospels is describing Jesus' treatment by the religious leaders and the soldiers leading him up to his crucifixion. Spitting at or on someone was, as it is now, a strong sign of contempt. So I don't know why Jesus uses it here. I have to accept there are some things I won't understand. And don't need to understand in this life. Jesus had his reasons. And one day I might get the chance to ask him. Although there are probably better things for me to occupy my mind with when I'm there with him in heaven. We don't know. I may have been offended. I may have just got up and walked away when he spat on my face. I may have refused to go on any further with Jesus. Others may have resorted to more physical response. But not this man. Why? Well, remember, he's been walking along with Jesus, relying on his words so as not to stumble. And what Jesus has had to say all the way along this path has prepared him for this moment. Another reason he doesn't walk away is because when Jesus spits on his eyes and puts his hands on him, he sees. He can see. Why would he walk away? He can see. Or does he? Well, yes, he does see, but not clearly. When Jesus asks him in verse 24, "Do you see anything?" the man replies, "I see people. They look like trees walking around." He sees, but he doesn't see clearly. Not at this stage. Some would have been happy to have seen anything at all, would have thanked Jesus and moved on, satisfied they could at least see something. And they may have left before Jesus did what he really wanted to do. They may well have missed Jesus completing his work. But this man stays. Verse 25. "Once more, Jesus put his hands on the man's eyes. Then his eyes were opened. His sight was restored. And he saw everything clearly." Jesus has healed him in a gradual process. Why? Remember what Jesus said in Matthew 9 and verse 29 when he healed two other blind men. "According to your faith, will it be done to you?" Remember, this man was brought to Jesus by his friends. Perhaps they believed, but he wasn't so sure. Jesus led him away and showed him he could trust him. He went on a journey where Jesus convinced him of who he was. Jesus encouraged his faith to grow. And he received his sight in stages. Eventually, he saw clearly. So what's the spiritual lesson we can learn here? Seeing spiritual things clearly comes in God's time and in God's way. Seeing spiritual things clearly comes in God's time and in God's way. This account has something to say about spiritual restoration. Remember I said earlier, Mark 8 is about people who see but don't really see. Well, look back to verse 17 if you've still got it open there. Look back to verse 17 where the disciples, those closest to Jesus, have got it wrong again. We read Jesus speaking, "Aware of their discussion, Jesus asked them, 'Why are you talking about having no bread? Do you still not see or understand? Are your hearts hardened? Do you have eyes but fail to see? Ears but fail to hear?'" Here are the disciples. They've just seen Jesus feeding over 4,000 people with little food, but still they fail to see. And then look forward to verse 29, when Jesus asked them who they say he is. Peter answers, "You are the Christ." He sees who Jesus really is, the promised Savior of the world. He does see. But then in verse 33, after Peter refuses to accept that Jesus would need to be killed, Jesus has to rebuke him strongly, saying, "Out of my sight, Satan. You do not have in mind the things of God, but the things of men." Peter sees, but he doesn't see, or at least not clearly. The disciples, too, are on a journey where their faith is being encouraged. And this passage speaks of our spiritual journey. Spiritually, we're all naturally blind and ignorant. And the Bible describes conversion as moving from darkness into light. Peter says God's chosen people are to declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light, brought from blindness to sight. "Once I was blind, but now I see." And all Christians recognize that we see that Jesus is the one who takes away the guilt of sin and puts us right with God. We see who Jesus really is. When we become Christians, we're fully, completely, securely, and forever saved. But we don't see everything clearly. We don't understand all the implications of the gospel perfectly. It doesn't happen like that. God deals with us individually because we're all different. God takes his time with us. And he leads us by the hand, gradually showing us we can trust him in all things. And as we walk with him, listening to his words, and as his spirit works deeper within us, we begin to see things more clearly. This is our experience when we see who Jesus is. Our eyes are opened, but we still see dimly. We're a work in progress, Paul writes. Now we see but a poor reflection, as in a mirror. The Holman translation says, we see indistinctly. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part. Then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. And that's 1 Corinthians 13, verse 12. We can't and don't expect perfection of knowledge and understanding. We have to keep putting ourselves in Jesus' hands and trust him to finish the work he started. In Proverbs 4 and verse 18 we read, the path of the righteous is like the first gleam of dawn, shining ever brighter till the full light of day. Let me read that again. The path of the righteous is like the first gleam of dawn, shining ever brighter till the full light of day. That's where we are right now, just after dawn. But the light will get brighter and brighter as we walk on. We don't stand still, because we need to be full light people. And our sight will improve the closer we get to the light, when we see Jesus face to face. At the moment, we see people as trees walking. But Jesus wants more for us. He wants us to see absolutely clearly. I remember my dad coming home one day with our first colour telly. Maybe 50 years ago. I know, I don't look that old. But it came with its own indoor aerial. He plugged it in, turned it on, and then spent the next half an hour wandering around the room with the aerial, trying to find the right spot to get a good picture. We could have given up, got frustrated or even angry, packed it away and taken it back to the shop. But my dad persevered, and finally the snow became shapes, which eventually became a good black and white picture. We could have been happy with that. It was as good as we had before. Leave it there. But no, we expected better. It was a colour telly, so colour we should have. All around the room he went, and the picture got better the higher the aerial was. So he stood on a chair. The picture was clearest in the corner. So there was my dad, stood in the far corner on a chair with his hands in the air. Perfect colour picture. There it was. What gave us a perfect picture? The telly had to be plugged in. It had to be turned on. The aerial had to be moved around until it was in the right spot and facing the right way to receive the signal. How do we see most clearly? We need to be connected to Christ by coming to him in repentance and faith, asking forgiveness for our sins and trusting him alone for salvation. We need to be prepared to persevere, not give up, not get discouraged or disillusioned when the picture's dim. We mustn't be satisfied with a black and white picture. That'll do. We have to be prepared to put ourselves out. Stand on the chair in the corner. Put your hands in the air. Be in the right place to see all Jesus wants us to see. That's where we've got to get to. So where do you stand this morning? What stage are you at? Perhaps a friend or a neighbour has brought you along this morning, praying. You'll see who Jesus is. and that he wants to give you so much love. Perhaps you're not sure whether to trust Jesus. Perhaps you don't quite see that he wants to make you right with him and bring you into God's family. Can I state categorically, Jesus wants you to see him clearly in his glory. He wants you to see him clearly in all his glory. Jesus wants you to see he's the Son of God who loves you and gave himself for you on the cross. He wants you to see he paid the price for you to be made right with him for eternity. He wants you to see. The first person this blind man saw was Jesus standing in front of him. Jesus stands in front of you now and he says, do you see anything? Can you see who he is? Maybe you've just begun your walk with Jesus. You're trusting him, but you realize there's so much more you don't see or understand. You feel you lag behind everyone else. You can't see clearly. Don't be discouraged. Don't give up. Keep walking with Jesus. Bring your feelings to him. Talk to him in honest prayer. Read his word regularly and ask him to help you to understand. And gradually, he will. In his time and in his way, let his word be a lamp for your feet and a light on your path. Maybe you're happy with your level of understanding. You know so much, much more than others. You've made it. Well, can I say in love, if you're feeling like that, you're not seeing Jesus clearly at all. Listen to Morris's New Year's Day sermon on humility. Or perhaps you're where many of us are, seeing men like trees, seeing people like trees walking. The Lord's opened your eyes and you're thanking him for all that's past and trusting him for all that's to come. Sometimes you see things clearly, but sometimes you get frustrated because you still see things through a glass dimly and just long to see better. But remember, our God's so big, we can't limit him to our little brains. Remember too that Jesus is coming again one day. Are you ready? He is coming again one day and we'll see him face to face, and then the full light of day will shine and everything will be absolutely clear. Our spiritual eyesight will be perfect. At last. Whatever stage you're at, listen to what Jesus wants for you. His prayer for you. John 17 and verse 24. Jesus prays, Father, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am and to see my glory. That's Jesus' prayer for you. He wants you to be with him where he is and to see his glory. He wants you to see him clearly in all his glory. What a prospect. What a privilege. Christless eyes can never see that. See Jesus. See his glory.